Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Good afternoon and welcome. I am Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries. My very special guest today is Sandy Andrew. We'll learn a little bit more about Sandy in just a moment. But right now, a thanks to our sponsor of Journeys with Rebecca, Fate Magazine. Now, in the current issue of Fate, there are articles like UFOs over sacred sites, written by Brad Steiger, True Mystic Experiences by David J. Brown, Fate Magazine, the longest running publication of its kind. Now, you can find out more or subscribe at www.fatemag.com or call 800-728-2730. Let them know that you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. Okay, back to my guest this afternoon is Sandy Andrew, author of Your Never-Ending Life, which is book number one of the Universal Learning Series. Now, you can find his website at universallearningseries.com. Now, named Henry Alexander Andrew, but known as Sandy, he grew up in a small village in Scotland, which is by no means typical, nor is completing an apprenticeship in painting and decorating in England. In fact, there's almost nothing typical about Sandy Andrew, a dynamic, hopeful part-time writer with big goals and an even bigger message. Now, at age 20, Andrew moved to South Africa to use the knowledge he gained from his time as an apprentice, and in 1999, he moved to Dallas, Texas, fulfilling his lifelong goal of moving to the United States. His academic and career interests are accompanied by an undying passion to write and teach on the eternal question, why are we here? The search for the truth led Andrew to start writing down the visions and feeling he experienced. From these thoughts, Andrew formed the concept of the Universal Learning Theory, which consists of lessons and life experiences and is described as the purpose of our lifetime. Andrew informs the reader that this is the kind of learning guided by universal laws and universal energy that will lead us to our most fulfilled and spiritually satisfied states. Coming up next, Sandy Andrew.
Schedule your private psychic reading with Rebecca, a truly gifted intuitive and clairvoyant, and the host of Journeys with Rebecca radio show. Call 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768. Where will your life's journey take you?
The songs on your radio are brought to you by sound waves, frequency, and amplitude. By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help make it fun. Visit girlsgotech.org. A message from the Girl Scouts and Ad Council.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. And we are here with our guest this evening, Sandy Andrew, who has written a book called Your Never-Ending Life, and it's book one of the Universal Learning Series. And I'd like to take this opportunity to say, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It is so much fun to have you here. I can tell you that right now. And, okay, so, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a couple pieces of information here, Sandy. First of all, as you can hear, I'm rattling papers and stuff around. There was a press release that you did, or someone did for you, I should say, Beginner's Guide to Living on Earth, and Spirituality Teaches Us Who We Are, Why We Are Here, and Guidelines for Living. And I find this absolutely fascinating, because the title of your book is Your Never-Ending Life. Okay, so what prompted you to write a book called Your Never-Ending Life? What was it that brought you to this point today?
I have always been drawn to spirituality, Rebecca, since I was young, whether it through being in the Christian church when I was younger, and then I started to look at the universe, the galaxy, all the stars, the planets, the different religious beliefs on Earth, and also the psychic phenomenon, which I encountered in my early 20s, And that really just drew me into wanting to write about what I felt, what I feel is our purpose on Earth and our eternal purpose, which is to learn the ways of the Creator. The Creator being God, Superior Spirit, or whatever you want to call it. And this calling went on for about almost 20 years. And it was quite nice to actually sit down and starting to fulfill your destiny in writing spirituality for the benefit of others.
Well, first of all, after reviewing your book, I could tell you I want to say thank you personally. I think it's a very interesting book. It's very well written. It also talks a lot about things that people have questions on, and they just don't know exactly sometimes how to articulate them, or maybe how to put them, and certainly maybe not even know how to think about them. So in your viewpoint, when you say never-ending life, what do you exactly mean by that?
Well, I mean you are a spirit of eternal energy, of energy rather, and you are eternal, meaning although we die, we pass from Earth and our physical bodies, you, the core of your essence, which is your spirit, which is your soul and your higher mind, will continue on for eternity. So in essence, your never-ending life is your lifetime on Earth is a part of your never-ending life as a creation of God in the universe. And when we say the universe, we don't mean just the Milky Way galaxy and the over 125 billion other galaxies in this known living dimension. I refer to as the universe as heaven, the afterworld, and you call it what you may, and all the other living dimensions and spiritual dimensions. So the universe is an A to Z of everything, as opposed to just when we say the universe and we look out there at the night sky to all the stars. So I think in modern Earth times, there's some of us that refer to the universe as everything, God, spiritual guide, so on. And then there's those of us who are not too much in touch with this sort of thing. New Age philosophy and spiritual philosophy refer to the universe as just the galaxies of the stars of the cosmos.
That's very well said. I like that. I like that. That's very well said. So, and you know, speaking of, and I just kind of want to address this, speaking of the spirit going on, the essence of us and who we are, we go on and on and on, which is one of the things that they talk about, you know, in many religions, is about the eternal life. And some people, when they look at that, and I've had people actually say to me, well, you know, that doesn't really mean eternal life. It means that you spend one lifetime here on Earth, and then you go and you spend the rest of the time in heaven or the cosmos or wherever, you know, their thought processes are.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking now about reincarnation. And, you know, it's for some people that just absolutely curls their toes. I mean, just curls their toes. They just can't grasp that, you know, thinking that, well, I should have memories of it. Well, actually, we do have memories of it, in my opinion.
That's right.
We come in with these personalities and these quirks and these strange little things that we all do, and we go, now, why am I like that? Nobody else in my family's like that. They never did anything like that. And that's how I tell people that they can connect with the fact that they probably lived before.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's certain things we're predisposed to. And I'm not talking necessarily genetically. I'm not talking about diseases now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people in bad relationships, and they seem to, like, keep picking the same person over and over and over again. It's just got a different name and a different day. Okay, that's some kind of a karmic thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, now that I've brought up karma, mm-hmm. What I'd like to get your viewpoint on karma. I mean, I and everyone's got an opinion, so you know, this is not like you know, a test or anything. It's just, you know, we're just having a conversation here. So, what's your take on the karma thing? Because so many spiritual leaders and so many spiritual people and New Age people have just different viewpoints on that. I'm always curious to find out.
Well, I have two statements, I think, that I view karma on. They're very simple. As you so shall you reap, and basically what you get out, what you put in. And that covers many things and doesn't really get too specific. And I think karma really is almost like a universal bank account. And to me, it's the only bank account that really matters. Because of every deed that you do, whether it be good or bad is a point of view in many people's minds. But it all comes back to you. All of it. One way or the other, in this lifetime or the next, or somewhere down the line.
So you're looking at, because there's the term karma and there's the term dharma. You familiar with the term dharma?
No, Rebecca, I'm not. I've never heard that one.
Okay, well, and for the sake of not having that discussion right now, because that's a pretty long discussion, we're gonna stick with the karma. But I invite anyone out there that might not know what it is. It's spelled just like karma, but only with the D as in dog. So you might look that up. It's similar to karma. Some people look at karma as the negative and dharma as the positive. Some people look at dharma as the ultimate ascension, if you will, through the spiritual evolution. Again, it's one of those things kind of open to interpretation.
I think I've actually seen this on a website somewhere now that you say that. Yeah, but it didn't suddenly didn't flash up when you said it, no.
Well, and again, it's open to interpretation. So, you know, it's not necessarily my interpretation, but that's... Just so we're clear, because I can hear people out there yelling at me, and I'm like, no. Don't yell at me. Seriously. So, all right, so karma, in my opinion, I agree with you, by the way, with karma. I think karma is one of those things that we create. We create out of the choices that we make. And I like this question that your press release has done. It says, why do good things... Is karma the reason why good things happen to bad people? Well, how do you answer that one when somebody asks you that question?
Well, I think, you know, good's a point of view. If somebody thinks like good thing is such as some person that's not really such a good person getting a promotion and getting a whole bunch of money and all the frills that go with it, then you don't actually realize what that person, that perhaps little lessons coming to them perhaps 2 or 3 months later in their work environment that you're perhaps not aware of. So we're not all aware of the universe that at work to teach its spirits the lessons that it must learn. So although it may be perceived as good on the outside, good on the surface, I don't necessarily think it may be... there's a lot more that goes on that perhaps we all do not see.
And you know, absolutely. Let's talk about that for just a minute, because I think people have a tendency to use karma in a manner in which it's not really intended, and that whole perception of why do, you know, good things happen to bad people. Again, that's a perspective on who's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people out there that we know that aren't very nice. They don't act nice towards each other or towards themselves as far as that goes. But here's an example. Make no assumptions, first of all, just like you were saying, is that you don't know that person that just got the raise, that just got the perk of having the car and, you know, 10 weeks of vacation a year, et cetera, et cetera. What may appear to be a blessing for that person really may not be a blessing at all. It may create more problems in this person's life. It may also be that the company is getting ready to fold, or this person is being set up to be, you know, let go of the company, and the only way they can do them is set it up for failure.
Yes.
You can make no assumptions about a person's individual path. All you need to be concerned about is your intent and how you live your life. And each and every one of us, and you're included and I'm included in this statement, we've made some choices that probably weren't very nice. They probably weren't very appropriate.
Absolutely.
But as we learn, as we grow, go through this life, we learn and we go, oh, that was just so not right of me.
Yeah, and I think that's the real... If you can do that in your life, you'll you always have a sense of some satisfaction. You go, okay, what I did yesterday was not the right thing. Really, deep down within
right.
you acknowledge that you did wrong, you spoke out of turn, perhaps your voice was raised slightly, you lost control of your emotions a little bit, and then just tell yourself, okay, I'm going to make up to that person, I'm going to make up to myself, and I'm not going to do that again.
And there's the key, I will not do that again. It's about bringing it into conscious awareness. And then you look at it and you go, okay, that didn't feel good. I will not do that again. And that's how I believe, and I don't know if you believe this way, that the soul evolves.
That's right. You know, Rebecca, negative energy, when you're funneling anger and you're blaming everyone else but yourself, and we all have done this and still do to this day, it's a very unsettling emotion. You can feel it churning deep within you, and it almost fuels your anger, and your anger fuels it, and it goes on and on and on. There's practically no stopping it. It's not a very nice feeling.
No, it's not.
When you sit back and you acknowledge what you've done, like we said earlier there, you really feel fulfillment and contentment. And when you achieve fulfillment and contentment, I believe in life, that is worth more than 50 BMWs and $50 million in your bank account. No amount of money can ever substitute fulfillment and satisfaction in my eyes, in my mind.
And, I know there's many, many people out there that would agree with that statement, and I know I do, and I do, I agree with that. All of us have choices to make in our lives, and it's about being open to looking at the way maybe you approach life or your perspective in life, and changing that up, or at least be open to changing it up. But guilt and fear and anger, and here's a thought that I have on anger while you were talking about it is, it's okay to be angry. It's how you use that anger.
Yeah.
That really makes a difference. Like when I get really upset, I take out my vacuum cleaner and I clean my house. So sometimes I have a very, very clean house.
Uh-huh.
It's about letting go of the frustration. It's about letting go of that pent-up emotion. If you have nothing else to do, look at how you can utilize that anger in a positive outcome.
Yeah.
Like if you're angry over the treatment of an animal, say, in your neighborhood, well, instead of going over and getting mad at the neighbor, why don't you channel that anger in an appropriate manner and I don't know, go become a lobbyist, call the rescue center, do something that's positive for if you see something like that. That's
yeah.
a positive end. Instead of going over and throwing rocks at your neighbor or whatever else it may be, or running
okay,
somebody off the road.
Punch yourself and the rocks run at yourself.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You might lose. You might go over to beat him up and you might lose.
That's true. And then it's like, okay, well, that didn't do me much good. Now I have a hospital
yourself,
bill.
As we said, by your own choice.
That's
you
right.
You go over there and swing and you lost.
That's right. That's right. So, it's just about being aware, and I think of just being conscious, of the choices that we make. And on the other side of that token is, we were speaking earlier about, all of us have made, done or said or something that we weren't proud of in our lives, that we didn't like, that we were ashamed of, or whatever the case may be. It's not about beating yourself up over that. Absolutely not. It's about being aware of that and saying, okay, that's enough. I'm just not going to do that. I don't like the way this makes me feel.
Yeah. And also, if you're in a situation that's making you uptight and angry, a lot of us, we all face this in work at one point in our lives.
Oh, yes.
And, I just personally went through this actually very, very recently. And when you can no longer, despite all your best efforts, because it always takes two to tango, so we always have a bit of fault too, you cannot achieve a peaceful work environment, then you must make the choice and take the action to change that environment. So a conversation I had with a relative of mine, he stated, well, we can either all move on or we can just suck it up and adapt and change. And I said, whoa, you're telling me that this person must suck up to the change of mistreatment in order to keep a job and get money? I said, that's not a good situation. That's giving into almost negative thinking. I said, you don't necessarily have to go swinging and whack your boss or whoever is giving you a hard time, but you need to think back and you got to sit back and go, okay, I need to change my work environment here, either transfer within a division or leave company or firm or go somewhere else. Because money can be tamed from many different places.
And people get stuck in that, Sandy, wouldn't you agree? They get stuck with thinking, well, this is the only job. I was talking about somebody that earlier today about that very same thing. About, you know, really look at your life, and if it's not fulfilling, there are a million, a gazillion ways of making money.
Yeah.
And if you're not happy, you know, if there's an established corporation or company that you're out there working for and it's not yours, obviously you can certainly try to elicit some change by maybe going to the owner, the president, or chairman of the board, or whatever it may be. But ultimately, they're going to choose to run that company the way they do. Then it becomes your choice and whether or not you want to stay in an environment like that, that's not nurturing to the soul, that makes you angry, that makes you tired, that makes you depressed, so that all you're doing is living to work and not working to live.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a difference. Our jobs are meant, they're kind of an extension of ourselves for the most part. I mean, they're about our intellect, they're about our productivity, they're about our passion, whatever it may be. Nobody said you had to stay in a job you didn't like.
No.
And there's many opportunities, you just have to be open for it. You said that, and I'm just laughing, I'm over here laughing, I'm going, it's just like no coincidence we're having this. I just did the same thing.
So did I, two days ago.
Mine was like 4 days ago. So, you know, I'm well up on
it. Was yesterday and today, really bad. And Friday it started, so.
Well, and Friday was when it ended for me. I was like, that's it. This is it. I cannot do this. My soul hurts, you know.
Exactly right. The same thing. Isn't that wild? Well, some people would say that's karma. Wow, what a coincidence, that's karma, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't think there's a coincidence in it. I don't necessarily believe in those. I believe there is parallel information for a reason, you know, parallel lives for information and all that, you know.
Yeah.
Always a reason for stuff. I mean, you know, not every little thing, but in this case I do, because, you know, obviously there's a shared experience here. And, you know, we're talking from our heart now, and we're not just talking to give lip service, so that's a really good thing. And, you know, before we run out of time in this segment, though, what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of set up what else we're going to be talking about. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about the universal learning. I want to talk about the universal laws. I'd like to touch a little bit more on the karmic issues and that kind of thing. And there's just a whole bunch more that I'd like to touch on, so I just kind of wanted to set those things up. So we are going to be taking a short break, you guys. We're going to be back here with Sandy Andrew, Your Never-Ending Life, right here on Journeys with Rebecca Sue. Do not go away, and we'll be right back.
For the people in our military, it's a time of sacrifice and duty. That's why all four military aid societies have joined together to form the Armed Forces Relief Trust to help military families cope with financial and medical emergencies at home. With so many serving overseas, the need is greater than ever. You can learn more and donate at www.afrtrust.org. A message from the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Want to know what's on my coffee table? The latest issue of Fate Magazine. Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, Fate Magazine provides a one-of-a-kind reading experience. Published continuously since 1948, Fate is the only publication to consistently supply its loyal readership with a broad array of true accounts of the strange and unknown, from psychics and spiritualists to archaeological hotspots and fringe science. From authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations to readers' personal mystic experiences, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Fate's unique mix serves the growing audience of people seeking both answers and entertainment. Find out more about Fate, and to subscribe, log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We are here with Sandy Andrew, talking about your never-ending life. That is the book that he has written. And, of course, before the end of the show, we'll tell you how to get your copy of it and how to get a hold of Sandy and all of that. You know, we talked in the first segment, well, we talked a lot, but in the first segment, I kind of set it up. Let's talk about the spiritual laws. Can we do that?
Well, in book one of the Universal series, Your Never-Ending Life, the spiritual laws are referred to as universal laws, Rebecca. And I listed 1 through 12. And how I came about these is that, first of all, I wrote the book from, you know, the knowledge of my lifetime, this current lifetime, and also the knowledge that was deep within my higher mind, which is was part of your spirit, and we touched about on that earlier on, and also the guidance from my spiritual guides, because you get messages and thoughts and feelings coming to you as you write, so that the laws, the book and the laws, and were all written from myself and then from spiritual guides. So I really sat back and I thought, what are the spiritual laws or spiritual guidelines? I don't like to refer them too much as the laws. They're listed as laws in the book, Rebecca, but they're not listed as laws in the sense that if you break them, you're going to be thrown into a pit of flames or mystically shot or lashed 500 times and things like that. And we'll list 1 through 12, and then we can touch on a few of them if you want to describe in more detail. Number one is karma, which is the number one. Number two is love. Number three is emotional control. Number four is action and effect. Number five is preordination. Number six is incarnation characteristics. Number seven is protection. Number eight is time. Number nine is guidance. Number 10 is learning. Number 11 is restoration. Number 12 is free will.
My favorite.
Yeah, the free will.
Yeah.
And what they are is a mixture
of
spiritual laws and reality of your life here on Earth. So, basically, for example, if you take karma, what goes around comes around. And the universal law of time, meaning that your spirit is eternal. You'll live forever, but you'll get out what you put in. And you have the free will to do it, and you're under the guidance of your spiritual guides. But you also, like I say, have the free will to do it. And you're born with some incarnation characteristics that you carried forth from previous lifetimes of learning. So I drafted these laws around the theory of universal learning and also what we seem to know and experience in our lifetime. We all really have an inner sense that we are eternal. We all take many different paths to God, and we are entitled to view the Creator God or not God at all. We have the free will to worship in any manner we see fit, and we do not have the right to be shot or be bombed by anyone else for that, and that applies to every single human being on Earth. So I really just kind of wrote these laws, these kind of laws and guidelines, just so as a more of an understanding of this is why things happen, and this really is what is, and so on and so forth.
Well, in regards to the spiritual laws, I call them universal laws myself. But in regards to those, I also do readings for people. I'm a clairvoyant and a psychic. So when I say things, some things will come out in a person's reading, and you can just hear the gasp. You know, and I'll say, look, it's not my law, it's the universal law. I don't write the book, I just tell you what's in it.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, it truly is. It is the universal laws are things that are inherent about the energy of which life exists.
Yeah.
And that's what, in my opinion, what it really is.
Yeah, I mean, everything, I view everything, everything is universal energy. The telephones we're speaking on, the computers in front of us, the bodies that we're currently incarnated in, it's all energy. Our emotions, our thoughts, it's all energy.
You know, and energy, and the cool thing that I like about this, Sandy, is that when we're talking about energy, is that now scientists are actually, you know, getting it, okay, about the whole energy thing and about what it is, and they're just touching the tip of the iceberg. But I think within the next, just probably not too many years, they're going to really. Science is going to have to change the way that it does business, if you will, because science is not exact, first of all, at this point, and second of all, it's much more spiritual. It's not black and white, and I think they're going to come a point where they're going to discover that. They're going to discover all of this, and I'm excited for it. I'm actually excited for the breakthroughs that science will be making. And that's going to just make just total more sense for people as they walk through this earth.
That may be the common trend, Rebecca, because yesterday I had a conversation with a gentleman from the Mind Goal, the website.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me, and I can't recall the fellow's name who's going to be on his show on Sunday. The website's called the Mind Goal, but he is proposing to introduce meditation as part of school learning. Now, I don't know if it's probably going to go through next year, probably won't, but that's the current trend is people are actually being more aware and actually realizing that this is not a bunch of hocus-pocus rubbish.
Yeah, it's not New Age guru stuff. It's real stuff.
This is real stuff, and I tell you, when you go to a psychic clairvoyant, you cannot dispute the information that they pass on to you. For those viewers, listeners who are perhaps a little bit skeptical of clairvoyance, they do you no harm, and they just pass on what they're being guided to, and it's not physically possible for them to know some of the information that is spoken to you. So therefore, that information is being communicated, what, in the form of universal energy, by who, by someone else, some other entity or spiritual form that you cannot see in the room, proof of afterlife or life after death in some sense.
You know, and I, of course, as a person who does that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the ones that amaze me, though, when I'm doing readings for people is those that actually come from the other side of the veil, what I call the veil, that have been incarnated, and they come back to give messages to their loved ones about different things, and it's not a sad thing at all. It's actually very powerful for some of the things that they're learning. And I've noticed a difference when I've been doing my readings in the last, even 6 months, it's been that recent, that the information that is being filtered through to me or is being shown to me or given to me or however they're presenting it in many different ways is much more substantial than it ever used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if people are becoming more aware, they're becoming more sophisticated, they're becoming more knowledgeable, and they're really looking for the meaning of their life.
Right.
And so the information that's being imparted to them is much on a much deeper level. It's much more meaningful, and it has that energy connection that you were talking about for them.
Yeah.
So it's you know, and I'm telling you, it's you know, I've been like this since I've been 4 years old, you know, and I've been around for a while, and I won't tell you exactly how long, but I've been around for a while, and it's still an enigma to me.
Yeah.
I'm I've always, by the grace of this gift, I tell you, because a gift it is, and you know, I was given an opportunity to use it, and I try to use it to the best of the ability, but yeah, for people who really, you have a higher mind, you have guides, you have all those things as part of the universal laws, if you will. That's inherent to each and every soul, spirit that's here, and even those that aren't here. That's a common thread.
Yeah.
Or more than that, but at least that much. So let's talk a little bit. Let's move on to just something else here. One of the questions that was on your press release was, what is the truth behind religious differences across the various cultures? That's kind of a loaded question. I hate to ask you that, but I think I will. I hate to do that, but I'm going to.
Like I said earlier, I think every human being on earth has the right to their own spiritual beliefs. I think that the evolution of humankind, there's going to be different viewpoints and different religions, and which brings us to the word organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I view Jesus of Nazareth, I view him different to the Roman Catholic Church and different to the Lutheran Church, which I attend in Omaha and sometimes occasionally visit here in Kansas City. Why do I do this? Jesus of Nazareth is the master teacher, the eternal spirit, creation of God, the organizations here on earth, I say this respectfully for some of the viewers, to serve themselves. I view them as different as to the teachings of Jesus, and I feel that there's just so many different, that word different that was used in the press release, viewpoints on religion, because we all have different points of view, and we are entitled to different points of view, and we're entitled to worship our God or our Creator or Superior Spirit or God's plural in any manner we see fit. And I think there is going to be differences, but we must appreciate that we are entitled to this, and it's not my business to enforce my viewpoint on anyone else. And I think that's the biggest problem that humanity ever faced and still has to this day. All the current problems that's going on in the Middle East and elsewhere in the world, it's all to do with religious viewpoints.
Yes.
What is the truth behind religious viewpoints is that they're always going to be different. And why shouldn't they? Why do we all have to agree on a single viewpoint? We don't have to, as long as we don't put a gun to each other's head or start fighting over it.
That's right.
We're entitled to. If you like one pack of one style of tarot cards and I like another, is that such a bad thing?
No, absolutely not. It's all about a person's choice or their comfort zone or their sense of this works for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of New Age people still relate perhaps to Christianity here and perhaps in the US and Europe because that's what they're familiar with when they're younger, but I'm certainly open to all religious teachings, and book two of the Universal Learning series is going to be past and present religious spiritual beliefs of planet Earth, which is one planet, and how many suns do we estimate in the Milky Way galaxy? Well, 400 billion.
Yes.
400 billion. And as one galaxy out of our estimated 125 billion. 125 billion galaxies?
Yes.
And we're one of them. And our galaxy contains an estimated 400 billion stars.
Yeah, I'm letting that soak in, people. Soak it in. Those numbers.
That's 400 million stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and we are one galaxy out of 125 billion. Now, do you really think that every life form that's perhaps living on them planets currently believe in Christianity or Islam or in the middle of having a major fight over practically nothing?
I would hope not.
I would hope not.
I would hope not.
There might be one, but I don't think there'll be more than one. The odds are there. We'll give the viewers, we'll give them one, but that'll be it. And that in itself, okay, they say, where's the proof? Why haven't the aliens landed? Well, throughout history, there's been numerous sightings and all sorts of interesting things happening. But, you know, if you were an alien race and you're fairly advanced and you pass by Earth, Would you really want to come knocking on the door and say, hey, here we are? Could you imagine the pandemonium that would take place on Earth?
It would not be a pretty sight, Sandy.
Could you imagine if by some... Now, this is an Earth example now. Let's say I was on a television show and I used telekinesis and I moved a cup in the air and I moved it into my hand. I would probably get assassinated when I left the studio.
Oh, my gosh. Unfortunately, that's probably true.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So, oh, and I hang on to that thought, Sandy, because we're done here, but we'll be right back. Don't go away, you guys. You want to miss a thing.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news, my upcoming guests. Just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, JourneysWithRebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
Close your eyes for a moment and imagine you're away from it all on a remote, unspoiled beach somewhere. Take a deep breath and enjoy the warm sea air. Sunlight streams through the palm trees as gulls call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Journeys with Rebecca. We're here with Sandy Andrew, your never-ending life. I just love it. I like that last example in the last segment. That was, unfortunately, was like all too true. But yeah, kind of scary stuff, isn't it, Sandy?
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air, you know, about the, you know, if the aliens were flying by and, you know, would they want to go to... you know, Baghdad right now for a vacation, you know, hardly not, that's for sure. And, you know, I, and it's just a thought process. It has really nothing to do with what we're talking about, and maybe it does. I think the better thing that people could be doing when they're talking about their own religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs, whatever it may be, whatever category it falls in, is to maybe look at that and see if you couldn't educate the people, to give them different thought processes, to plant the seeds as opposed to going in with brute force and trying to force other people to be like yourself. And that's what makes it sad. It makes it sad because there are and there is other ways of handling situations like this, but unfortunately we've been caught up in this is the only way to, I guess, resolve issues or resolve conflicts. Is by using brute force, and that's just, in my opinion, not an absolute truth at all. So it's kind of sad. One of the things that I want to talk to you about before we run out of too much time here is this is called the Universal Learning Series, and you mentioned it briefly in the last segment about your second book. What is the Universal Learning Series? I mean, what is this something that you're writing?
Yes, I'm writing this series myself.
And do you know about how many books are going to be, or have you not arrived there yet?
Well, I think I'm probably going to do about 6.
Okay.
That's the initial target. really, the Universal Learning series is going to be a book series, and it's based on developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator. Universal learning, I believe, is a life purpose on Earth, and we're all here to learn off each other and experience, live through the experiences and truly learn them and for our soul to evolve, whether it's on Earth or any other planetary body within the living dimensions. You say, well, what other dimensions are there? There's spiritual dimensions, that's heaven and the afterworld and so on and so forth. And then there's the living dimensions, which you incarnate to and experience. So this book series is about that. It's about learning the ways of God the Creator. And then some of the listeners, if you name your God Allah or whatever, that's your prerogative. And you're entitled to that. Book one, it's about basically who you are and why you are here on Earth, and also part three of that book is this book is how to achieve success and fulfillment in your lifetime of universal learning. Now, one of the things that many readers may have when they read this book and go, okay, what about Jesus of Nazareth? What about Muhammad? What about the Buddha? What about these guys? What about all the other pagan stuff that we had earlier on in civilization? And that's what I'm going to write about in book two. I'm going to go through each of, list many of the beliefs and explain them in detail and draw information from them. Not selective, but kind of a broad range of information from each religious belief and use it for the reader's benefit so they can learn. If they want to read and absorb and decide, okay, this part of Islam is not for me, I don't necessarily subscribe to that, fine, but at least you've gained awareness of looking at somebody else's viewpoint. And then we'll close the book two by once again journeying out to the galaxies and listing again the facts and figures of the estimated number of stars and galaxies, which no doubt will change in a year's time, Rebecca, because every time I review information, it seems to change in the scientific community. The number of stars seems to get more and more in the galaxies, and 1 minute the universe is contracting and the next is expanding. Did you know that?
Yes, actually.
We thought we were all going to collapse within ourselves, but now we're actually expanding faster than we can calculate. Okay.
Yes, actually, and I think that's amazing. I actually have several guests that I've had on in the past, and we kind of keep in communication that are of the scientific world, and some of them are physicists, and some of them are just researchers. And not just researchers, as if that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
But they keep me abreast of that because they know that I'm. It's just absolutely amazing to me. It's a living, breathing entity in and of itself. The multiverses, and I find that extraordinary. I mean, I don't know. I feel like a child looking at a skyscraper for the first time. You know, just.
Yeah.
It puts me in awe when I think about what our universe really is and the energy behind it, as you were saying, the expansion and the contraction and the you know, that's the adage of time seems to have sped up. Well, and somebody was just telling me about this the other day. It was one of my guests I had on, and they said, no, it's not actually speeding up, it's expanding. And that's on a physical level, a real measurable physical level that the scientists can, as well as the spiritual and the consciousness level as well.
Yeah.
So it blows my mind. It's fascinating.
Oh, it's great. It's the ultimate subject. I mean, I'm studying right now a business degree, and it's about as fulfilling as watching grass grow. I'm so glad I've got one more one and a quarter subjects to go on. I'll be glad when it's finished because it has about no interest to me whatsoever. But I'm going to finish it because I started it.
Well, then there's your fulfillment in it. Is maybe not what you're doing, but the fact that you did it.
Yeah, the challenges in life we all love. Huh?
You know, and the things that we put ourselves through. So, all right. Well, let's do this. Let's talk briefly. First of all, we've been talking about your book one, and it's a series of the Universal Learning series, And the one thing that I really like on your website, you call the universal learning is a revolutionary spiritual philosophy that is based on emotional and life experiences. Absolutely profound. I love it. I think that's a great way of putting that. Your book, by the way, is an easy read. It's compelling. It causes people to think. It allows them to open up. And the reason I love books so much is because it allows you in your private space to entertain ideas, to think about things without the fear for some people or the reluctance to share it with anyone in front of them because fear of they might not understand. So books for me is a wonderful place where I can go and just be in with myself and the book and explore it all on my own time and my own level and my own comfort zone and then come away with it what I will. What I came away from your book is that it's a wonderful place for people to start. It gives you a fresh perspective in life, and I'm looking forward to the second one, and I hope that you contact us when that happens so that we can have you back on to talk about that. But I'd like you now, at this point, Sandy, if you will, is to give your website and where your book can be purchased and how people can get a hold of you.
My website address is www.universallearningseries.com. That's all one word, universallearningseries.com. The book can be purchased online at barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, and booksamillion.com. And also, it will be available, and is currently available, at most major bookstores. It's just been released, so they're busy getting their orders in. You can get hold of me from my website. There's a tab on there, Contact the Author. And I get the email directly here at my home office. So people can contact me via my website, www.universallearningseries.com. It's your never-ending life, book one of the Universal Learning Series.
And Sandy, this has absolutely been such a delight. Such a delight. You've been such a great guest. I so appreciate it. And just as a quick reminder, for anybody that didn't get that written down, you can visit my website, and there will be a direct link to Sandy's website from Journeys with Rebecca. Thank you so much, Sandy, and blessings to you.
Find out more about a show topic or guest. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
At Fate Magazine, they recognize the impossible can be possible. We explore the unknown so that it can be known. From personal accounts of ghosts and UFOs to scientific examination of psychic phenomena and earth mysteries, Fate's main purpose continues to be honest reporting and open discussion of the strange and the unknown. So log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
I love my coffee. And during every Journeys with Rebecca radio show, I'm sipping on a big cup of my favorite coffee. You know, everyone who knows me knows how much I love my coffee. And I'm always drinking it from my super-sized Journeys logo coffee mug. It's a hefty 15-ounce ceramic mug, large, easy grip handle, with the logo of Journeys with Rebecca emblazoned on the side. You know, it really is a beautiful cup. So join me with a big cup of Java and some wonderful conversation. You can find this special item at my web store. And for a limited time and for a very special price of only $16.99. So go to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and click on the web store link. Now that's like a good cup of coffee. I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints.
Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you? Many blessings and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.